Previously on the Beast Gang Podcast.
So, Matt, you saw it. What'd you think?
The first 30 seconds, for me, was a 10 out of 10. I was like, holy shit. And then it got to when it was exclusively Bumblebee. I was like,
Matt, what score would you give Bumblebee?
Bumblebee? I'd give it 5.5.
It's not possible.
What do you mean it's not possible? I didn't think highly of the other movies.
Apparently not. We're back to the Beast Game Podcast, and we're going to talk about Bumblebee again. And Matt, are you changing your score for Bumblebee?
Yes. Then I would give it a 7.5.
Podcast. That's a hell of an increase, man.
When you started playing with your Transformers, is that when you changed your score?
What?
Really?
Like, did you pick up Megatron and be like, Megatron, let's have a talk?
Shut up, man.
Really? Is that what we're going for?
And then Megatron was like, man, it wasn't that bad.
Score.
Change your score. Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And we're going to talk again about Bumblebee. And particularly my views on Bumblebee. Echo Matt's sentiment, first 5 minutes of the movie is the movie that I wanted. And then the rest of that crap is some sentimental, unnecessary BS. When I thought about what was happening, it felt like I was watching the Lindsay Lohan, Herbie the Love Bug movie.
Are you fucking serious?
I told you.
Tonal shift in this movie. So again, Michael Bay is not the director. He's not the producer. Doesn't have anything to do with this. So again, first 5 minutes. It's all on Cybertron. War for Amazing. Cybertron. Great. And then Bumblebee gets sent off to Earth. Then he encounters John Cena. Matt mentioned the tonal shift in this movie from robots, this heartfelt story about a girl that just has been misaligned with life. Her parents are divorced. She's having a difficult time accepting her mom's new boyfriend, husband. And she also has problems with her brother. Really just wants a chance to belong. A chance to just live life and be happy. I don't really care about that movie.
Are you serious? So this became like a Lifetime movie with a robot.
The tonal shift with this movie goes from good action movie, then Bumblebee goes to Earth, collides with some of the Decepticons that follow him to Earth, and then he hides as a Volkswagen Beetle. So you have a character who's played by Haley Steinfeld. The first problem is that they give her kind of this nickname, but Charlie. Because it's all quick to say. Charlie Watson. There's also some dude that works at the carnival that she works at that likes her a lot that you can kind of see this being telegraphed a long way that he likes her, but she doesn't really notice him. And at some point during the movie, he finds out about Bumblebee. She's like, oh, well, no, don't tell anybody. Bumblebee's my friend and all this other crap. A lot of things are telegraphed, and you still kind of have this overarching story of Decepticons are looking for Bumblebee. Bumblebee's hiding out on Earth. Two Decepticons are looking for him. And they trick the humans into helping them find Bumblebee. Hey, well, we're from a race. We want to promote peace. There's a guy that's all about trying to destroy the Earth here. And we want to find Bumblebee. The whole setup for the movie. But the bulk of the movie is about Charlie and Bumblebee bonding together.
Oh, so this is basically further.
Did I tell you that shit?
This basically further confirms what Matt was saying.
The bulk of the movie is that. So if you remember Power Rangers movie that came out last year, and you remember that the giant robots and they're learning martial arts, then all of a sudden they're all talking about the feeling.
Oh yeah, when they had that big powwow at the end.
Think about that for about almost 50 minutes of the movie. The movie's only about an hour and 45 minutes. So almost an hour of the movie is Charlie talking about her feelings. She cries to Bumblebee. She cries out to Bumblebee about how she doesn't belong. And I don't care about that. I care about giant-sized robots.
See, that's what I was saying.
And not, oh, Bumblebee, you know, you're my only friend. I started thinking about this, that maybe this was not the movie for me. And the reason why is that it seems like they're just trying to remake E.T.
Yes.
The same kind of beats that, again, you're trying to hide the alien from your parents, from your friends, from law enforcement, is her and Bumblebee bonding. Kind of just like the first Transformers where Shia LaBeouf is hiding him from his parents and, oh, you can drive, you can do this, you can do that. Oh, wow, Bumblebee, this is all great. I don't care about that. I don't care about it. I care about War for Cybertron, Optimus Prime, Decepticons, and not all this human stuff. John Cena was okay.
Man, fuck him. I tell you that movie. I forgot he was even in this bitch.
I generally don't like John Cena.
Position. What was his role?
He was one of the Sector 7 guys.
So, okay, so they do have Sector 7 in this. They kept them in there?
So the funny part about it, he was just like, no one see anything wrong with this? They're called Decepticons. Like, is that not a problem?
So hold on. Go back to the John Cena thing. So you're saying this dude was actually decent in the movie, and he was the only one that was like, the voice of reason.
Yeah. But that dude that her boyfriend, and this turns into like a love story, a teenage love story. I don't care about that.
Geeky guy, yeah.
So hold on, Barry. Do you think they were trying to? They were trying to remake a podcast about the YA universe, all these young adult books. You think they were trying to put that in the same genre as that? Just disguise it with a
It is that. It is that. But somehow Bumblebee's name is attached to this, so it is a Bumblebee movie. So. Really, again, all this is E.T. Super 8 was a homage to E.T. and Steven Spielberg's way of doing stuff. I don't care about that. That's not the movie I wanted to see. I want what Michael Bay was doing, particularly The Last Knight and Age of Extinction. No, I don't want that. That's fine. Do I want this? No, I don't want this either. At some point, somewhere, some alternate reality exists the Bumblebee movie that I deserve. And
I don't even want to hear your score, man. So, I do not want to hear your score.
A lot of Haley Steinfeld's character. Again, I kind of compare this to dog that somebody found. They bring the dog home. They hide the dog from the family. So at some point, the dog destroys the house. That happens in this movie. And the angle with Charlie Watson just goes way, 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 way. Over the top. Like, they just lay it on you that you're supposed to feel sympathetic for her. You're supposed to feel so sorry for her. She is an outcast, that people bully her, that people turn their nose up at her. And I don't care about that. Then, I will say, as a positive, they do avoid some of the Michael Bay comedy tropes that people speak super quickly and stumble over themselves. So think about the first Transformers movie and a lot of Shia LaBeouf's stuff and like maybe his parents, that's avoided. There's not enough 80s connections other than music. There's 80s music. There's raw bass.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that shows up. And also LL Cool J. And as Matt said on the original podcast, the Transformers was the movie You Got the Touch, which was shoehorned in very oddly and weirdly. I didn't like that.
When did it come in? Like, was
at some point, Charlie meets up with all the other people that have looked down upon her, and she's about to have a proud moment. Now she can belong to this group of people, and they want her to jump off of a cliff into like water because she somehow is also a prodigy diver, causes some problems with how she grew up and some of her self-esteem issues.
Dad passed away.
Yeah.
And then when he passed away, she didn't want to do diving anymore.
I don't care about that, man. At some point, she's about to jump off a cliff. It's like, hey, I know you. You're that awesome diver. I remember that. Why don't you show us your diving skills? She's just like, you know what? I can do this. And then Bumblebee plays You Got the Touch. And then she backs out.
What?
And then she backs out of all that, drives off.
Well, from what you're telling me, and from what Matt said, to piggyback on what Matt said earlier, it seemed like the director was a fan of the G1 series. Has to be. Because he's
a fan of E.T.
You Got the Touch. He basically had the Transformers looking like Generation 1. So he had to be a fan.
On Cybertron.
On Cybertron. So, and y'all say that's the best part of the movie.
The war on Cybertron.
The right director.
And then when Bumblebee first gets to Earth, there's a couple of action scenes there. And then the movie turns 180, this being a teen drama, a little sprinkle of Transformers. So two big slaps in the face of me. Matt's going to agree with one of these. Sure that he's going to agree with the other one. The first slap in the face of me that also happened in Age of Extinction is that, well, was it The Last Knight? I don't know. Yeah, it had to be The Last Knight. But that little girl sneaks onto the military base And Charlie does the same thing in this movie. A heavily guarded military base. Heavily guarded. Somehow she sneaks into a hangar where Bumblebee is.
So she ninja'd her way into...
Her and her friend, the fake boyfriend, the Afro-having boyfriend. The next step in the face to me. All this leads up to the Decepticons finding Bumblebee. There is a whole scene in this where Bumblebee gets shot point blank in the face. Point blank. More than once. And dies. And then Michaela runs over, starts crying on Bumblebee. The Decepticons are destroying people. Blast. You're gone. You just no longer exist. But again, Bumblebee can survive a cannon blast, multiple cannon blasts to the face.
Damn.
Point blank.
And all it takes is for this misaligned, underappreciated teenager to come over to Bumblebee.
To shoot him.
Jumpstarts Bumblebee.
What?
They jumpstart Bumblebee. Bumblebee is dead. Hey, well, let's jumpstart Bumblebee. And somehow, not Energon, not religion.
Now, I can see.
Not Optimus Prime.
Hold on. Not the Matrix of Leadership.
Like, not the Matrix of Leadership.
Some shit brought him back to life. I'll believe that shit. So what you're telling me, because the power of love.
And tears.
Came back to life.
Not just the power of love. And tears.
You know what? This is just about as worse as the bullet of love in Suicide Squad.
Bumblebee survived multiple shots point blank to the face.
While he was handcuffed or tied up. While he was tied up.
What, did he fucking execute his ass? God damn.
Yeah, he was tied up. He was tied up.
And he survived.
Point blank. Yep. No, he died.
And then all of a sudden he is resurrected because...
by a human electronic spear gun, which disables him when the enemies do it. But when she does it, brings him back to life.
Yeah.
Same fucking gun. That makes no fucking sense. I was like, all right, when he's alive and then the bad guys shoot him, it's debilitating him. He can't move. He's being shocked, etc. But when she does it, it brings him back to life.
Yeah.
Does it hurt him or help him? Someone help me out here.
Yeah. Bumblebee destroys one of the Decepticons by just like ripping them apart. I don't know what happened. How did Bumblebee survive that? Can somebody tell me?
She got the touch power.
Moving on to just a couple of other things. Again, the movie's just kind of split up into the movie that you thought you were going to get. And I didn't really have a lot of high hopes for this. This teenage dramedy. And if you eliminate the teenage dramedy, there was a point where I was just like, you know what? This movie's not that bad. And then they go full tilt, full bore onto this Charlie Watson stuff or whatever the heck her name is. After she kind of overcomes some emotional issues, her mom doesn't want her to have a car and things become okay. And then something else goes on, and things become okay. And then all of a sudden she's crying to Bumblebee and then Bumblebee embraces her and things are okay. And none of it is the movie that I wanted. Again, I didn't have a lot of expectations. I didn't know why I wanted to see this movie. Again, if it had to stay consistent with the first 5 or 10 minutes, that's fine. And mentioned to Matt that at some point he was talking about the previous Transformers movies. So for me, Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon, that movie's like an 8.5. The wingsuit section, yep. The building falling section, great. Transformers 1, that movie hasn't aged well, but it's watchable. I enjoy watching that movie, stumble across it. I will watch it just because it's okay. Transformers 2, whatever that one was called, Revenge of the Fallen, and then the other crap that they put out that should be nameless. How did Optimus Prime just become evil? I don't know. Even worse. So, to echo Matt's sentiment, this is the third best Transformers movie, and since it is the third best Transformers movie, I'm going to give this a 3.
Holy what? God damn. Well, hold up. So, Hold on. You give Dark of the Moon 8.5, right? That's what you just said?
Correct.
Okay, what would you give? What's your second one? The first
Transformers 1? Maybe like a 7?
Okay, the next one that's third on the list.
Three.
Is number 3.
Yes.
Not number 3, but Well, number three on your list is rated a 3.
Correct.
I am scared to ask you what the other movies are. I'm quite sure they are either 2, 1, or 0.
All right. No,
last night's probably a 0.
Last night, 0. I want to say I gave it at a 0. Oh. Remember distinctly arguing with Keith about that movie. Age of Extinction, maybe like a 2, because it was Grimlock.
No, that's not Grimlock. That shit was not Grimlock. I don't know what the fuck that was. That wasn't Grimlock.
And then the second movie, whatever that one was called. What the heck was that one called?
Age of Extinction?
No, the second one.
Rent of the Fallen?
All right, whatever.
Have robot.
Very bad memories of that movie. I just remember that being a section where Sam Witwicky died, and then all of a sudden the Matrix leadership might have revived him with some crap like that. That is a 0, all right?
I remember Decepticon balls, okay?
Yeah, that also belongs to be a 0.
Devastator.
Those two ghetto robots, 0.
You said ghetto robots.
Yeah, man, they were...
The hood bots, yo, come on, man. You didn't have one of those when you grew up?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm sure they're down.
One thing I'm going to have to dispute with you, Matt, you just recently changed the score.
Yep.
And I don't see how. I don't see how.
I changed it based off the other movies.
You changed it based off of Megatron. I know you did, Matt.
Megatron, really? Is that where we're going?
Yeah. I know you sat down and talked to Megatron after you changed the score. And you were like, hey, Megs, how you doing? And Megatron said, Matt, I heard the podcast. I'm not happy. As leader of the Decepticons, it's either going to have to be me or the Beast Gang. You're going to have to choose, Matt. And then you said, I choose you, Max. Mmm.
Megatron. They're not Pikachu.
It's like,
oh, man.
It's like, Max, I love you. It's like, I love you too, babe.
Oh, gosh.
I have to dispute that raising of that score. If you had left it a 5, I could understand that. But a 7.5. No, dude. No.
But some of the positives you have to say, one, they are going in the right direction. That shit with the generation.
How's that the right direction? How's the right direction? I don't understand. That is not the right direction, man.
Let me ask both of you guys this. To make this movie pretty awesome, how would you fix it? Like, I understand they had that.
I would fix it. I would just take the
so would you take it out totally, or would you just modify it?
Take the girl.
We just got finished reviewing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Do that. An animated movie. And do that. Give me the War for Cybertron. Give me Optimus Prime. Bumblebee. All that on Cybertron. And just leave the humans out of it. And I understand that humans are core. Humans are core to Transformers. It's indisputable. The whole original series, G1 series, is that. Pretty much every spinoff, maybe except for like Beast Wars, is that. But this movie takes it to a whole new level of Herbie the Love Bugness. And it is that. It is that. The only thing that did not happen was that she got into a race, but she did run from the cops. Because Bumblebee would not slow down for some random reason. Dispute you changing your score, Matt. So I'm going to change your score back to 5.
What'd you say?
I'm changing Matt's score back to a 5.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
I cannot allow this. I will not allow it because what I saw and what you saw was the same thing.
And I agreed with you with a lot of points.
Yeah. We may differ on some of the finer stuff, but Matt, I know how much you love Transformers. I have seen it. I have witnessed it. We went to go look for Transformers.
Yes!
I have to say, I understand your affection for Transformers, your affection for Megatron. It's a little unnatural.
Really?
Oh, God.
It's like, well, let me transform you. But I understand your affection for Transformers, and maybe if I had that same level of appreciation, maybe I will allow you to change your score, but I'm not going to allow that to happen.
So hold on, you just vetoing his score?
Correct.
Is this the Beast Gang first?
No, Keith has probably done that several times.
Oh, well, yeah. That's true. Matter of fact, he has.
I think we might have vetoed our own scores a couple of times. Particularly like Suicide Squad. I just can't allow that to happen.
So you get this movie a 3.
Yes. All right. It is not without some good points, but the bad stuff, Charlie Watson or whatever her name is, dominates the whole movie. This is not the Michael Bay structure movie where it was just like action, 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 comedy, drama, more action. This is action, drama, drama, more drama, more drama. Hey, let's get back to the story. More drama, more drama, more drama. Getting back to the story, more drama. Bumblebee dies. Bumblebee is revived. And then he...
By the same guns that took them out.
And then he destroys two of the Decepticons. And John Cena was just like, thank you for doing all this, basically. And she goes back home and she's much more improved and the relationship with her mom is better and her brother and the dude with the afro, she kisses him on the cheek and he's just like, did you just kiss me? Like, yeah, dude.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
At some point, Bumblebee turns into a Camaro. It's like, oh, you can turn into a Camaro? Why did you tell me that, Bumblebee? Because the movie would be ruined if he had already done that. Yeah, so that's the Beast Game Podcast. I'm tired of talking about this movie.
Damn, man.